Blog Talk Radio.
WATV Radio seeks to inform and engage the Bride of Christ to stand up and take your place in the army and the kingdom. We recognize our battle is not with flesh and blood, but with the principalities and the powers of the air. We are a ministry of prayer, and we highlight what God is doing through other ministries and ministers across the globe. We provide a platform for ministers and a place for the bride to come together and rally around each other, hold up each other's arms, and pray for one another. WATV Radio celebrates the various missions that God has called each one of us to in this army, so we desire to promote and enhance the bride as a whole. Go, bride! Our soon-coming King awaits. Good evening on this wonderful Monday night. I am doing this broadcast from Del Rio, Texas. I am on the tour with Making America Godly Again tour, and I have already been through 12 states and over 6,500 miles. But you know what? My mileage is nothing compared to the man that we're going to talk to tonight. Please give it up for Mr. Tobiah. How you doing, sir?
Yeah, doing well. So good to be on with y'all.
Yes, I'm very excited to have you on here. Now, listen, Brad, this is a little bit about him. During the summer of 2010, God put it on Tobiah's heart to walk across the United States while carrying a cross. Beginning in California with no money, map, compass, or GPS, the journey took 87 days, never missing a meal and most nights being blessed by fellow believers who took him in. All of his needs were met. It was amazing. Even more were the countless encounters along the way in which God used Tobiah to encourage brothers and sisters in Christ or share the gospel with unbelievers. Fast forward to 7 years later, and now he has a family of his own. The Lord is once again calling them to step out of the comfort into their calling, to share the gospel by carrying the cross again in all 50 states. Wow, Tobiah, I bet you have a lot of stories about your time out in the cross before, but before we get started on your current ministry, take us back in time and tell us who you are. Like, where was you born?
Yes, I'm from Pottstown, Pennsylvania, about 45 minutes outside of Philadelphia. And just a quick testimony, you know, because my family fell away from the church when I was about 2 years old. So I grew up not believing in God, not believing in the Bible, and not believing in Jesus, not going to church. So I was always like a good kid. You know, I did well in school. After high school, I joined the Marines, and I did well in the Marines. But behind the scenes, I just kept messing up with relationships and alcohol. And some of the countries that I served in, prostitution was legal. So some nights we'd go out to the bar, partying, and end up in the red light district. We just had this mentality that we worked hard and we partied hard. And so it went like that,
right,
my
right.
5 years in the Marines. And I got out. And, you know, one of my best friends, since we're in diapers, a sandbox friend, he got saved while I was in. So I got home, and he called me up, Jesus this, Jesus that, God, God, God. I remember thinking, man, I can't even talk to this fool anymore. It's just Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. So he invited me to church
right.
probably 60 times, and I always had an excuse not to go with him. Finally, I went to the service with him, And I was kind of going through the motions because I was always open to Christianity. I was interested in the history of the Bible. And I wanted to know if there was a God. I would like to know. So I went and I was open. I had my hands lifted saying, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And a warmth came over me from head to toe and an extreme feeling of love and joy vibrating throughout my whole body. And in that moment, in an instant, like a light switch being flipped, I knew without a doubt, 100%, that God was real, that Jesus Christ died for my sins and that the Bible was true. So ever since then, I figured when I was in the world, I was going club hopping. So now I'm in Christ, I go church hopping. So I'd go to early services at one church, a later service at another, Bible studies, home groups. I couldn't get enough of Jesus Christ. And that kind of brings us to this, because I ended up at a discipleship school in South Carolina. And a couple weeks into that school, I was in a time of prayer. And I, out of nowhere, during my time of prayer, I pictured a map of America with a man carrying a cross across the country. And I knew in my heart that God was calling me to literally take up a cross and walk across America.
Wow. Well, since you've already brought us to that point, when you started out in California 7 years and you started walking, how did people react to the cross? Like, what were some of the reactions you got? Because I imagine each state would have different reactions, wouldn't they?
Yeah, and that's what I was going to say. It was different from state to state. And, so the general reaction is curiosity. What is this guy doing? Where is he coming from? Where is he going? And that was across the board, from atheist to believer. And that's what was cool just about how God had called me to this journey, is that it appealed to even atheists, because they said, man, I don't believe what he's doing, but obviously he does. So I'd like to know, like, what's making him so passionate and what his mission is.
Right.
But then, you know, a lot of people would beep their horn and they just yell out the window, God bless you, keep it up. But once in a while, you know, someone beeped their horn and I turned and said, God bless you, and they're flipping me the bird. So it's, you know what, someone would ride a bicycle past me, I'd say, God bless you. And they'd say, you know, explicative, like, bleep God, bleep Jesus, bleep you. And, but it's never, I mean, I've never been, like, in danger. Some people have been, like, verbally angry, mostly, like, just drunk people at night or something like that. But in general, 99% of the time, it's positive.
Well, that's good. What are some of the rewarding stories of people that you met on the streets?
Well, I always reflect back to day one. It was like May 18th, 2010. And I started in California. I flew into Los Angeles, and a church there called the Dream Center, that they do ministry to, like, Skid Row, prostitutes and drug addicts out there.
Yes, I'm actually want to go there.
Yeah, man. So that's where I got the cross. And
wow, that is awesome.
Yes, ma'am. So I started carrying the cross, and day one on this mission for Jesus to advance the kingdom, to crush the head of the serpent and to do this amazing work for God, day one I start carrying the cross and I start thinking, man, this is stupid. This doesn't make a difference. People just think I'm crazy. And as I'm having these mind games, a car pulls over. And this woman walks up to me, tears streaming down her face. And she said, I've just been having the worst week of my life. The worst week of my life. This and that's going on. And she said, I was just now in my car crying out to God, saying, Lord, if you're real, please give me a sign. And she said, just as she said that, she passed me dressed in a robe, carrying a cross for Christ. So she pulled over, and I was able to encourage her and pray with her. But wow, how much she was an encouragement to me. To, like, for God to confirm, I was right where I was supposed to be and right when I was to be there doing God's work. And ever since then, like, every 25, 30 minutes, someone would pull their car over to talk. And just God's provision. So that first day, again, I remember it was around lunchtime, and my stomach was growling. I started with no money, no food. My stomach was growling. And I said, Lord, you know, this is, like, where you're going to have to show up. You know, I'm stepping out of faith doing my part. And just then, someone stopped and handed me a bag of Arby's. And okay, as the sun was going down, I had a poncho in my backpack that I could put over the cross like a tent. And as the sun was going down, I started looking for a place to camp out in the tree line.
Yeah.
And as I was looking, these two guys pulled over, and they said, "Man, we're going to this youth service. Can we interview to take to the service?" I said, "Yeah, of course." So they're asking me questions. And then they said, "Well, hey, listen, would you like to just come to the service with us?" I said, "Of course, let's do that." So we cross, stick it out of the passenger side window.
Now, Tobias, you're breaking up. Your phone is breaking up. Are you walking around or something?
Yeah, we're going over a bridge right now. Sorry about that.
That's all right. Go ahead.
Yeah, so they took me to the youth service and introduced me to the pastor. And he said, "Well, hey, would you like to take the service tonight?" And, you know, pastors don't just give up the pulpit to anyone off the streets. But I shared a message that night. Afterwards, we all went out to dinner, and they blessed me with dinner at an In-N-Out Burger.
Oh.
And one of the parents of the youth said, "Well, hey, where are you staying tonight? Can we bless you with a hotel room?" So I remember laying in the hotel room at the end of that first day, reflecting on how many people stopped, how many people I got to pray with and encourage, being provided for meals, being able to speak at a youth service, and now laying in that hotel room bed. And I remember saying to God, "Lord, if I don't talk to anyone all the way back to South Carolina, it would all be worth it just for that one day, because it was such a sweet time of ministry, such a fruitful time of ministry." But every day was like that. You know, every day I got to meet amazing people, divine appointments, and see God's provision right in front of my face.
Well, so you was able to do that in the 87 days, and then after that, God blessed you with a beautiful family. Now you have three beautiful children, right?
Yes, ma'am. They're 4, 2, and 5 months.
Oh, they're just babies. So now, what has God called you to do now?
So about a year ago, we were doing local missions, but not too often just because of my work schedule. And I really kind of fell into a depression because I felt like I was supposed to be full-time, like all in, sold out for the gospel. And but because we were having kids, my wife was in, you know, she had this nesting instinct, and we were just providing a nice home for our kids. But one day, the Lord spoke to my wife loud and clear and said, "Go." That's all he said was go. And she just knew it was for the Great Commission. And when we prayed about it together, it was like God gave me the other half and birthed in me a vision to carry the cross in all 50 states.
Oh, that is awesome. Thank God you have a wife like that.
Yes, ma'am, I do.
You know what I mean? That is willing to sacrifice for the call of the ministry. There's a lot of them that don't.
Yeah, and that's been,
you know,
that's been our main focus, is out of comfort and into calling.
Wow. Well, okay, so now that you're in it full time, what are you doing?
Well, it just depends from place to place. We started in we didn't really know where we were going, but literally got orchestrated it and lined things up as we were driving to Maine. And it changes from city to city. Some places that don't have as much nightlife, I'll go out a couple days a week during the day, carrying the cross during the day. But right now we're in New Orleans, so a big city like this, I can actually spend most of the day with my family and then just go out at nighttime and do ministry. Literally right now we actually just got done handing out apples and bottles of water in downtown New Orleans. And just as we're handing water to mostly to homeless people, we just say, "Hey, what's your name? How can I be praying with you?" And man, everybody was just open and honest, and we were just able to pray with people and encourage them.
Well, how are people responsive to the babies? Are the babies with y'all when you're out there?
So normally it's just me. So it's like more like my mission is out on the street, and my mission is with these kids. So obviously I have the easier job. And so yeah, we were just out there today as a family, and everybody. Yeah, I'm definitely blessed with a beautiful family. So everyone we meet adores them.
And it
actually makes it easier because my daughter's just a little love bug. So, you know, she's just open. And when she gives someone a water, man, it just lights up their day.
Aw. Well, Tobias, let me talk to you about something. Let's move on to the nation. You are a very unique person. Now, how old are you, Tobias?
32.
So you're 32, and 7 years ago is when you actually did the nation. So at that time, you was about 23, 24, right?
Man, I think 24.
But at that age, you was able to see the broad, bigger picture of our nation. At that time, you know, that was, I guess, at the beginning of the other president's reign, and you've seen what's mm-hmm. happened to our nation since then. Now, what do you think has happened to our nation in the past few years?
Well, that's a tough one. But I have seen a steady moral decline. Just not even, you know, to get political, but just looking at the state of America, we've had a steady moral decline. And unfortunately, I'm really just now getting into your show and following what you're doing. But you've probably heard this before, is that, man, there's evil good and good is evil. And just with abortion and same-sex and all the gender equality, and it's not anything like I'm saying. I just look at the scriptures and go based off of that because, you know, America, like I guess society will say that truth is subjective, but I'm saying it's objective, that what's in the Bible is capital T, the truth. And when you look at that as like the litmus test somewhere to see where we stand, man, America is just going more and more on off level. And we're falling from God's grace in those ways. So, I mean, we've got this this grace period where if a country we can repent, we know that God is just and faithful and gracious and merciful to show us his grace and mercy. And, man, so I just I see that across the country, though, that there's a moral decline. And I guess my heart breaks, especially with abortion, when you look at those numbers.
Well, let me ask you this, Tobias. You're back out there now versus 7 years ago. Have you seen a difference in the climate, in the way people are treating you as a whole? Are you seeing a difference?
You know, it's really difficult to answer that because there's times when I carry the cross in New England and I'd carry the cross all day and no one would offer me a drink of water. And then I carry the cross down here in Mississippi, and I can't even carry all the water that people offer me. And I guess that's an easy translation for me of, like, how open people are to the gospel is when they're stopping. And you know, there's a verse, you know, it says if you offer even a cup of water to one of the least of my disciples, it says that you're giving it to Jesus himself. And I see that. I don't know if it's just hospitality, or the litmus test of faith down in the South. But, yeah, it's just really – I don't have to take any water with me down here because people are more open and will bless me with a drink as I'm carrying the cross.
Yeah.
So it's hard to say that over – I've been changing from state to state. And I do know it was more spiritually dry up north than in the South. And I know when I was in California, the police actually gave me a hard time carrying the cross in certain areas, but after California, sheriffs would actually stop and check on me and bless me with Gatorade. So there was a little harder ground out in California.
Yes, I'm having a hard time in California planning this next rally, which is supposed to be in California.
Okay.
So I understand. Well,
there's something weird going on out there. Because I actually was turning the cross one night, and it was about 2 a.m. on a Sunday morning, and I found myself by this huge church. So I figured I would just crash out on the bench outside of the church so that I could go to service in the morning a couple hours later. And I was rudely awoken about 6 a.m., and they actually kicked me off of the church property, me and my cross. And so I went out to a bus stop until church started, and as I walked back, they kind of stopped me again and told me to put the cross in the garage there. And because we're all Christians, I don't need to make a statement. And they just gave me a hard time. It was really awkward. I didn't know what to do with myself. It was like just a weird feeling because you expect to be received by the body, by the bride, you know. But they gave me a hard time, and it was just weird. But, again, it was only something like that that I experienced out in California.
Yeah, that is weird. Well, let me ask you this. What would you say to anybody else out there right now that is considering maybe carrying the cross? What would you
say? Yeah,
you
got to do
it.
You've got to do it. Don't worry about what it looks like. Don't worry about finances or the details. I've literally met people that said, man, I felt like God was calling me to do that, but I just didn't know when or where I should start. Or someone will tell me just a different way to share their faith. A former drug dealer said that he, after he got saved, he felt like the Lord was calling him to go to different places that he had dealt drugs and witnessed. But he said, I couldn't get time off from work and this and that didn't line up. So they never did it. But, man, you just got to go. I guess it's that step of faith. I'm reminded of the second time that the waters were parted. When God actually called the priest to step in the Jordan first, and then the waters parted. And it's almost like you have to take that step of faith first, and then God will provide, you know.
Yes, that is the truth. And the thing is, you know, I've been interviewing these missionaries down here, and I consider you a missionary. You know, you're like a missionary to the United States. But I've been interviewing these missionaries to Mexico, and one time I was interviewing one of them, and I said, I can just hear what people are thinking. Why are y'all down there in Mexico when we need help here in the United States? And then it come to both of us at the same time. It's not that.
Yeah.
It's going and doing what God said, where he said. You know? So listen, bride, whatever God is calling you to do, be activated. Get out there. Obey the Lord. At all costs, no fear in the church, in Jesus' name. Now, I would like for you, before we pray, because we're almost finished, I would like for you to talk to the bride a minute, and what would you say to America right now? What kind of advice or whatever would you say to us?
It's just, I guess the first thing that comes to mind is priorities. Priorities, priorities, is that Jesus needs to be number one priority. Because there's so much stuff out there, like self-help stuff, to improve yourself, to be a better time manager, this and that. But man, if we don't have a relationship with Jesus right first, you know, that the Bible talks about seek first his kingdom, and then all this will be added unto you. And just in that, if we get our priorities straight, spending time in the Lord, spending time in prayer, in his presence, then it can help you with your other priorities, your next priority as a family person. And then after that, you know, comes ministry and work and all those other things. But if we don't have those first priorities in line, then everything else is going to be messed up. And in saying that, I think it covers a lot of the other stuff that I would say just about being sold out for Jesus. I desire that believers are so radically different from the rest of society. Like, I'm carrying the cross in cities and different places, and people are taking pictures. They're like, a lot of people are crazy. They'll basically stop their car in the middle of the road to take a picture or, like, you know, to talk to me. I'm like, whoa, whoa, at least, like, pull off the road so, like, you're not starting an accident here. But it's just, and I say that because carrying the cross has been so different and radical and unusual that it should be more normal. Like, radical moves of faith and different ways to share the gospel should be more normal. Why aren't more people out in the corners with signs that say God loves you, or stop and go, or signs that say free prayer, or just like my kids helped us today, handing out water and apples and just asking what we can be praying with people about. There's a million different ways to share the gospel. That can be baking cookies, taking it to your next door neighbor, and saying, you know, just from the love of God, I was so moved
to come over here
and give these to you. Yeah. But for some reason, we're lazy. We're spiritually lazy. We're pew warmers. We're just sitting and just soaking up what the pastor's feeding us, and then going out just to do our life the rest of the week, when we should be sold out for Jesus every moment of every day. And the other day, someone called me fanatical, and I said, man, that's one of the nicest things anyone's ever called me. Because if I'm fanatical for Jesus, I want to be sold out for Christ. Not just a fan, but a follower and just sold out disciple. So just like the movement, I think it was like the 60s and 70s, a little before my time, but like that Jesus freak. Can we get back to that, and can we be Jesus freaks, like sold out and radical for the gospel of Jesus Christ?
Yes, amen. And he's telling the truth, Bride. We've got to get out there and to begin loving our neighbor again. And, you know, the Lord told me to write this book to President Trump on this trip. And in there, I told him, I said, you know, I got this revelation from another guy. I can't remember his name. But it was in Colombia. And he said that as Trump cuts the umbilical cord from society, where they have had their codependence upon the government to feed them, clothe them, and take care of them, you know, really that's why they're going crazy out there. Because they're spoiled and they're being detached from what they are relying upon. But this is a perfect opportunity for the church to step it up and to be that umbilical cord to God. And as we love our neighbor, as we help and, you know, start reaching our arms out, reaching our hands out to our neighbors and stuff and getting back out there. And see, there's a fear like blanketing the nation right now, you know, because of the media who puts all this stuff out there, all this negative stuff to bring fear to people. You know, it's like they just don't even want to talk to anybody anymore. Like it's like an apathetic, you see what I mean?
Yes, ma'am. Yeah, and you mentioned
about
the church.
But we have to get past them.
Stepping in to become the umbilical cord to Christ as it's severed from government. But it will be so much better if the church because it will be more individual and intimate on a one-to-one basis to see where someone's at and what their needs are. That way it's not there are so many people that need help, and then there's so many people that are just receiving it and taking advantage of the system.
Exactly, yeah. Well, listen, Tobiah, what would you say to President Trump right now? If you could have his attention, what would you say?
Oh, my. President Trump. I would just pray over him. I can't think of anything I would tell him. But because if the Lord will just continue to reveal to him, and if he's able to submit to the will of God, I know it's difficult for men to submit in general, but so especially as a president, to be able to submit and to be humbled, I would just pray that over him and in submission to the Holy Spirit. Wow, he can both make America great and godly again. And I just would lift the president up and encourage him to listen to those in his cabinet and lifting up his cabinet to all those leaders, if they can just be led by the Holy Spirit So I would pray that over him and encourage him not to get caught up in the media. Just do the best thing you can do. And I think he knows that, you know, not to get caught up so much, but just to really do the best you can and know that we're rooting for him. And just pray those blessings over him.
Well, what is your next plan after you get finished with New Orleans? Where are you going next?
You know, it seems like every time we plan it out a couple states ahead, God ends up changing our path. But I believe we'll be heading to Tennessee next month. Yeah.
No
and
way,
then,
my stomping ground,
yeah.
Where at?
Okay. Yeah, so I'm going to have to keep in touch and follow, you know, what you're up to. And as you cross paths with certain people, as our trails cross paths, it's really interesting. Already I've noticed a lot of people that I've met before now that you're crossing paths and vice versa. It is really cool. But yeah, so we'll be heading back there. And I'm hoping that we can zigzag across the country, staying up north during the summer and down south in the winter. But so far, God hasn't allowed that for us.
Yes, that would be cool. Now, Tobias, we're going to take a moment to pray. We ask that the bride comes together in agreement with us because we believe that God brings people on the broadcast because they're at the brink of promotion. And we partner with heaven with what God is doing in your life. So if you don't mind, let's bow our heads. Bride, if y'all would please come in agreement for Mr. Tobias and his family. Lord, we come together in agreement right now, the bride across the world, Lord, and we thank you so much for your servant, Tobias. Lord, we thank you for how you called him, how you set him free, Lord, for his friends that he has partnered with, Lord. We ask you, God, for continued favor in this new mission that you have called him and his wife to, and his family to. Lord, we pray supernatural provision that people would give unto his bosom, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that he says yes and that he will pay the price for ministry, Lord, for souls, Lord, and he will reap the benefits, Lord, because that obedience is where his wealth is, Lord. And we partner with him today, with heaven today, with what you're doing in his life, Lord, and all the petitions that he has petitioned in heaven for. We are in agreement for that for him and his family, Lord. We thank you, God, for giving him favor with everywhere he goes with people. Favor, Lord, protection. We plead the blood of Jesus over him and his family. Protection, Lord. Put angels around him, Lord. We thank you, God, that you have called him for such a time as this. Lord, we thank you for expanding his borders, Lord, and for giving him even more creative ways to express the cross as he walks, more creative ways to do it. And we thank you and give you praise for that, God. Lord, give him like witty inventions, witty ways to do it, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for his children. Bless his children, Lord. We plead the blood of Jesus over them. We speak health and healing over his family, Lord. And we thank you for everything that you're doing in his life and where you brought him from and where you're taking him to, Lord. We give you all the honor, the glory, and the praise. And, Lord, we pray that you download into him prophetic eyes to see when he's ministering to people's cities, the principalities and the powers that are strongholds in cities, that when he walks in that city that they must back up, they will recognize who has walked on that facility, that is no small thing, that his feet are walking on territories. So we're in agreement that he is tearing down the walls in the spirit in the territories, that you will reveal to him those demonic forces that are holding that city back from fulfilling the mission that God has on that city, and that he will partner with ministers, with the prayer warriors in those regions, in the spirit, partnering with them to tear down the enemy's plan in that city and to partner with the kingdom of heaven to bring the kingdom of heaven down in America, Lord. Thank you, God. that just as I am traveling the outside, the rim of the border, partnering with heaven, pleading the blood of Jesus, activating the angels, he's doing the same within the borders. We thank you, Lord, that we are all partnering together for the kingdom of God to be advanced in the United States of America, Lord. We thank you that you chose us for these missions, Lord, for such a time as this, God. And we thank you, Lord, for the United States of America having an awakening, Lord, across the states, Lord, having an awakening of their identity in Christ, and the scales coming off of the citizens' eyes, Lord, and that they would see the truth. And we ask, God, for a revival of truth to flow over this nation, Lord, from one side to the other, Lord. We tear down every lying devil that is lying to our citizens right now in Jesus' name, Lord. And we pray, Lord, for the Holy Ghost to have your way in this nation and be with our president tonight, Lord, as he is overseas. Lord, as he is representing the United States, Lord, be with him. Give him safety. Put angels around him, Lord, and bring him back home to the United States safely, Lord. So we thank you and give you praise for everything that you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, Tobias, I would love it if you would please pray for my mission and, you know, this ministry, and then pray for the bride, please.
Yes, Lord, thank you for this ministry, Lord. All the different media outlets, the radio, the television, the Facebook, all, and, Lord, I just thank you for Dr. Knight. I pray your blessing over her, Lord, and even as she had that
yes,
the other day, Lord, I pray traveling mercies and your protection and
guidance.
Yes. Opening those doors, Lord, and closing the doors that shouldn't be open, Lord. I just lift her up, pray your good and perfect will, Lord, your direction and your connections, Lord. I thank you for those divine appointments. And, God, not just
yes,
for those encounters,
Lord,
but as you build our faith through that and bring confirmation through that. And, Lord, we lift up, Lord, these revivals, these rallies and meetings and gatherings to you, Lord, just every detail of how they're put together and for every soul that's there, Lord. We pray, Lord, that they're just drawn to you, Lord, and that during those times, God, that they just have a heart that's just broken, Lord, to the things of you, that we can just humbly fall to our knees, Lord, in repentance and cry out to you. And I pray just that Holy Ghost power, Lord, over Dr. Knight, Lord, as she goes those places. And I pray as she prays, Lord, that your spirit go with her, Lord, as she prays for healings that you provided, Lord, and just the miraculous and signs and wonders, not for those things, God, but that you be glorified, that your kingdom be advanced. Whatever it takes, Lord, for souls to be won, we just lift her up to you and pray your anointing over her, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, as she ministers to the bride, help us to realize, Lord, that covenant
that's been struck, Lord,
as we uphold our side, Lord, and just pursuit of you, God, we thank you that you're always in pursuit of us, Lord, and help us, Lord, to be reminded of all the blessings that come by being your bride, the blessings of to your kingdom, as ambassadors to Christ, Lord, as we can just be co-heirs with you, Lord, and how it opens up so many blessings, not just after in our afterlife, Lord, but that we can have some blessings here on earth, Lord. And as we were saying about if the church steps up and does what we're supposed to do, I realize that that's almost like heaven on earth, God. If we can just be your hands and feet to just have a heart for the sick, the hurting, the orphans, the widows, Lord. If we can
get
outside ourselves, outside of our little bubbles, and just realize the big picture, help us, God, as the bride, to be your hands and feet. God, I realize as the bride, it gives us, it blesses us with so much, your provision and your blessing and your promises. But, Lord, as the bride of Christ, help us, Lord, in humility to just be servants, Lord, to have a servant heart, to be humble, to wash the feet, Lord, and just to be there, Lord, in the places, Lord, that only we could be. Whoever's listening to this, help them to realize that they're in the nooks and crannies of America, that places that only they can be. Lord, so I pray that you allow them to shine your light so brightly in the dark places around them, that the enemy flees, that the kingdom is advanced, that souls are won for your glory. Ultimately, Lord, that your kingdom is advanced. Help us to realize the importance of pursuing you and keeping our priority, Lord, our first and foremost relationship with Jesus Christ, that it can lead others to a relationship with him as well. So I thank you for the bride. I thank you for Dr. Knight and all that she's doing, her faithfulness, Lord, and that she's just sensitive to your spirit. We lift up President Trump and all the way down to the lowest in America, Lord. We just pray your will, and we pray your guidance over America.
Yes,
in Jesus'
Lord.
Amen.
Yes, amen. All right, brother, before we get off here, I do want to ask you if you have any word that you want to share. You do have time to share a word.
Oh, I just know that God is so good, and he desires more for us. Like, he just desires us to step out in faith. And it's not enough to be consistent. He's desiring us to consistently grow in him and to grow in faith. So I encourage you, if you feel stagnant, then you got to change it up. I just know, like, in the gym, if you're, like, exercising a certain way for so long, your body just gets used to it, and it hardly does anything for you anymore. But if you change up what you're doing and increase things and this and that, then it makes a big difference. And I think similarly in our walk, we used to say in the Marines that complacency kills. And if you're just doing the same thing over and over again, you kind of get bored with it, and then you're, like, you're off point. And if we're at a war spiritually against the enemy, because Satan comes, you know, to steal, kill, and destroy, but we know that we're victors in Christ, but we are in spiritual war, so we can't be complacent. We got to change things up and get in the game. And I believe the word for the church, and I don't know how much time, but I just I was thinking of different testimonies from the crosswalk, but I could talk your ear off all night. I just know that God is good, and I know that when I'm reminded of Abraham, when he thought that he had to take Isaac and sacrifice him, he just stepped out in faith and willingly, like, put his most prized possession in an open hand to the Lord. And God said, "No, you followed me in faith." And he was about to sacrifice his son, and the Lord said, "Stop," and provided the ram in the thicket. And I know that personally from my own life, when I put things up in an open hand to the Lord, because in the summer of 2010, when I first started carrying the cross, I thought it was going to be a horrible, horrible summer, sleeping outside, hungry every day, just sore and blisters and tired and sunburned. But it turned out to be the best summer of my life, and I'm still talking about it today, 7 years later. So it's obviously it had impacted me, and I'm just thankful, and I guess a word to the bride, too, is that our testimony shouldn't be something that happened years ago, but just a progressive testimony of what God's doing in your life today.
Come on now. Amen.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes. Well, all right, sir. Well, you have a wonderful evening. Thank you so much for your encouraging words, Doug.
Thank you so much. It was so good to join y'all tonight.
Yes, it's an honor to have you on here. It really is. I really honor what you do. I honor your beautiful wife, Bride. Y'all have got to see his wife. And I just want to tell you what she said when we was out to eat that night. She really admires Tobiah. And that was beautiful to see a woman that just looks at her husband like she just really admires what he does. And so that was really awesome. I really bless y'all's marriage and bless your family. Amen.
Thank you. We appreciate that.
All right. God bless y'all. Good night.
Bless y'all. Good night.
Good night.